Imagine buying a house that's nearly 40 years old, living in it for 5 years, and then discovering that your county government considers the home to be illegal. It should never have been built in the first place. That's the real-life nightmare that one Hawaiian man is living through, and that is the story we're going to take a look at today. Hi, folks. I'm Eric Bain with Reason Magazine. Thanks for joining us on this edition of American Radio Journal. My guest today is Christian Britschke. He's a colleague of mine at Reason Magazine, an editor of the magazine, and also the author of our weekly housing policy newsletter. Rent Free is the name of that newsletter. You can sign up for it right there at Reason.com. Get it in your inbox every week. Christian joins us now to talk about this story that he covered in that newsletter last week. Christian, thanks for joining us, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Tell me what happened with Shahzad Ousman. He bought a seaside house in Hawaii that had been there for 40 years and then discovered the house was somehow illegal?
Yes. So Shahzad Ousman, he purchased a house in 2021 on the Big Island in Hawaii. And, you know, the house, it's a small beach house that was undergoing renovations when he purchased it. As part of the purchase process, he checked with the county, his broker, his appraiser all checked with the county to make sure that the remodeling permit was good and that he was, there weren't any permitting issues with the house. He suddenly sees that his permit is supposed to expire before he was told it was supposed to expire. And so he calls the county and says, hey, what's up here? And they at first say, oh, no, you don't have anything to worry about. Continue with your work. After he finishes some work, he can't get an inspector to come out. So he calls again. And this is when the county informs him that, oh, no, actually, your permit is canceled. But it's not the remodeling permit, which would have been issued in 2020. It was actually the permit that had been issued for the entire house back in 1987. And so this meant that he wasn't allowed to occupy the house, that he would have to stop the work he was doing on the house and, in fact, dismantle some of the work that had already been done and completely reapply for permits from scratch.
And as you point out in the piece, he'd already spent something like $138,000 on remodeling work. I mean, that's a ton of money. But the bigger question, I guess, is like, what is he supposed to do now? Build a time machine and go back and fix that permitting issue from what, 40 years ago? Or bulldoze the house and start over? What's he got to do here?
Right. So this is what's what makes it even more complicated from his situation is, yeah, as you mentioned, he'd already spent a significant amount of money remodeling the house. Because the house is unpermitted, he'd have to get a completely new permit. But the problem is when the house was built, it was built closer to the shoreline than current regulations allow. And so he would have to move the house in order to get a special state permit that you'd need in order to build close to the shoreline. But in order to move the house, then he'd be dismantling and basically rebuilding it, and he would have to build to the new code, which would basically mean completely bulldozing the house and starting over. And so, you know, he wasn't willing to do this given the huge amount of money he'd already spent on it, the fact that people had been living in the house for decades with no apparent problem. And so in response, he sued the county to try and get his permits reinstated.
And how's that going? This is relatively new. I guess there hasn't been a ruling or anything like that yet.
No. So yes, he did. So he won. So he lost an administrative hearing where basically he goes to before a county board to try to argue that the county was wrong, and the county sided with the county. But then he sues in a state court or a local district court, and he wins that lawsuit. But there's still the county can still appeal. And while they still have the option to appeal, they're still telling him he can't live in the house and that he'll be fined if he tries to enter the house. And this is after a court has already said, yes, your permit is good. The county is completely in the wrong. Go ahead. Like, you're allowed to keep building and working on this house and living in this house.
I know you just sort of deadpanned it there, but I want to emphasize the fact that, like, the county sided with the county. That's the way this process starts, is with these administrative hearings. You know, that's really a separate issue. We're not going to get into it here, but I mean, these administrative courts, administrative hearings that go on at the county level, at the state level, at the federal level, like, it's just so difficult sometimes to challenge regulations when they go against you as a homeowner, a property owner, a business owner, any of that.
Yeah, actually, to take a point on that, yeah, it was kind of remarkable reading the transcript of the county hearing that they had, where the county lawyer was, you know, ripping into Shahzad for his, like, you know, you didn't do your due diligence by simply relying on what the county told you about whether your house was legal. You should have done this other thing. You know, you should have gone back and looked at old real estate listings or something like that. You know, the county's word wasn't good enough.
It's just completely ridiculous. This is a one-off story in some sense, because it's, you know, this situation with this guy, but there's something like 40,000 permits that actually could be at stake. This is a much bigger issue. This says something about the way in which we regulate housing in this country and a lot of different states. And this contributes to the housing crisis, doesn't it?
Right. There's a lot of other homeowners who could potentially be in Shahzad's position. And then secondly, yeah, Hawaii is probably the most heavily regulated state when it comes to land use, and probably has some of the most heavily regulated land use in the world. I know we talked previously about the very slow process of rebuilding in Maui, and it's after the wildfires there. And, you know, it's for similar reasons like this. You know, something happens, a home burns down, and then you have to comply with not just a very robust set of land use regulations, but also rules that have gotten much tighter since your home was built, and so, or your business was built. And so maybe the thing that burned down is not something that can be rebuilt today legally. So it's something that affects a lot of people.
Yeah, we're seeing that in Maui. You've reported on that. Obviously, you've also covered in California some of the same issues with regulations there. And I mean, this is an issue that goes on really everywhere. I think it's terrific to highlight these specific kind of really ridiculous cases, because they do, I think they emphasize, they really show how just difficult it is to build housing in this country. And that has all sorts of ramifications. Folks, if you want to read more about this, check out Christian's newsletter, Free Rent. You can sign up for that at reason.com and get it in your inbox every week. Christian, thanks for joining us, man. Really great conversation.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
And once again, that is Christian Britschke. He is the author of Reason's weekly housing policy newsletter, Rent Free. You can get that at reason.com. Sign up for it there and get it in your inbox every week. We got a bunch of other newsletters, so check those out as well. For Reason Magazine, I'm Eric Bam. Catch me right back here next week on another edition of American Radio Journal.